What's up, everyone? I am Bonifia. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of my podcast. I want to welcome you to the Murder Cafe. Get your cup of coffee or tea ready and sit down for yet another fascinating case. So on this second episode of my Murder Cafe podcast, I'm going to be talking about a really well-known case in the United States of America. So when you are as invested in true crime as I am, you have probably heard of the Kaylee Anthony or Casey Anthony case. This case was literally next to the number one O.J. Simpson's case in America. So the Kaylee Anthony case is actually the second biggest case that was ever covered on the media. Everything about this case was published and was followed by a huge crowd. And I find this case so mysterious. There's so much information on this case already. I literally watched hours and hours of videos. I've read a lot of articles about this case, but unfortunately, I cannot discuss every single detail in this podcast episode. Otherwise, this episode is going to be like 6 hours long, and I don't have enough time to cover all the single details, but there are some amazing videos, articles, interviews, and even documentaries out there, and those really help me to understand a lot about this Casey Anthony or Kaylee Anthony case. So I will recommend you a few of them by linking them in the description of this episode for you, so feel free to check them out after listening to this podcast. So what I find so disturbing about this case is that Kaylee Anthony, the child involved in this case, was found dead when she was only 2 years old. So let's talk about this crazy case about Casey Anthony and the death of Kaylee Anthony. So Casey Anthony was a 22-year-old young mother to a girl named Kaylee Anthony, who was born in 2005. Kaylee, who was Casey's daughter, was a beautiful young girl, 2 years old, but a really disturbing thing happened to her back in July 15th of 2008. On this day, Casey's mother was named Cindy Anthony, and she was the grandmother of Kaylee Anthony. And she called 911 about her missing granddaughter, Kaylee. She was really worried because Casey had told her mother, Cindy, that day that Kaylee had been missing for 31 days. And this was actually the first time that Casey told her parents and authorities about Kaylee, her 2-year-old daughter, missing. So her only telling this, her parents and authorities, after 31 days, that's just red flag number one to me. Casey hasn't told anyone or even reported that her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee, was missing for 31 days. Like, that is over a month, you guys. What is going on? Cindy was really disturbed by the news that Casey had just brought her. Her granddaughter has been missing for 31 days. She was really worried, and she decides to call 911. And I actually have a snippet of this 911 call that Cindy Anthony made on the 15th of July, 2008. And not only Cindy was talking to the police, but the police also talked to Casey in this conversation.
Your daughter admitted that your baby is where? Because you said a couple months ago that my daughter's been looking for. I told you my daughter was missing for a month. I just found her today, but I can't find my granddaughter. There's something wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Okay, what is the 3-year-old's name? Do you mind if I speak with her? Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Well, can you tell me what's going on a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me a little bit what's going on?
My daughter's been missing for the last 31 days.
And you know who has her?
I know who has her. I tried to contact her. I actually received a phone call today now from a number that is no longer in service. I did get to speak to my daughter for about a moment, about a minute.
And you last saw her a month ago?
31 days.
From 31 days. Who has her? Do you have a name?
Her name is Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez.
Who is that? Babysitter?
She's been my nanny for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Why are you calling now? Why didn't you call 31 days ago?
I've been looking for her and have gone through other resources to try to find her, which is stupid.
Okay, so we just heard a 911 call, and Cindy spoke with the authorities first, and then Casey took over the phone call and spoke with the operator. So, is it just me, or do you guys also hear something strange about this 911 call? Because Cindy Anthony, who is the grandmother of the missing 2-year-old Kaylee, she was the one who was acting really frantic, like she was panicking, just like anyone else would in this situation. Cindy sounded genuinely worried about her granddaughter while she was talking to the police. But it's Casey Anthony, Kaylee's own mother, who's only answering the questions that the operator is asking her instead of giving the authorities more information on Kaylee. And Casey was not even freaking out. She was not being curious about what to do next. She didn't even ask for more information on how the authorities were going to help to find her daughter. She claims on this phone call that the nanny named Zanny, which is short for Zanita Fernandez Gonzalez, had kidnapped Kaylee. That's what she believed and claimed and told the authorities. And Casey also claimed that she had been trying to find Kaylee for the last 31 days with her own resources, and that's the reason why she didn't contact the authorities earlier about this whole situation. And this sounds really suspicious to me. If you were honestly worried about your daughter and you did not have to do anything with the missing of Kaylee, then you would be stressed, panicked, you would show emotion, and you would ask the authorities a lot of questions about what to do next in such a tragic situation. Casey didn't do any of this, and that just gave me a weird and suspicious feeling. To understand more about Casey's life and personality and this whole situation, let's go back a little bit to see what was going on before this 911 call was made. So it was said that Casey Anthony was trying to kind of avoid her parents and family in the period before this 911 call happened. Cindy and George Anthony are Casey's parents and the 2-year-old Kaylee's grandparents. So every time that Cindy and George would call Casey to ask about Kaylee, where she is, how she was doing, and them wanting to meet her and spend time with her, Casey would always have an excuse or explanation for why they could not talk to Kaylee or see her. Casey would always tell them that Kaylee is totally fine, that she was with the nanny, that she was with her friends, she's at a theme park. So, as you can hear, Casey always had an explanation for where Kaylee was and why they couldn't meet her. And this went over for a month or so. So Cindy and George Anthony were getting really worried because they hadn't seen their daughter Casey and their granddaughter Kaylee for over a month now. So they decided to start looking for them. Eventually, Casey was found by her parents. Apparently, her car had been towed because it was just sitting on the streets for a couple of weeks. It was not being used. And the car was actually owned by George Anthony, Casey's father. Now, Casey claimed that she needed this car to go to work because she told her parents that she had to work every single day and she was supposedly working at Universal Studios. Now, when George Anthony went to go and pick up this car after it was towed, he opened the door and he said that there was a very distinct smell that came from this car. And he specifically described it as a decomposing body smell. So George Anthony actually used to be a deputy. So personally, I would figure at least he would know the difference between the smell of a decomposing body versus something that just smells bad. Now, inside the car, Cindy and George also found some stuff in the car seat that belonged to Casey and Kaylee. They opened the trunk, and all that was there was garbage that's been rotting for a couple of weeks. And because all of this happened in July, the car had been standing in the hot sun, so George thought that maybe this was where the smell was coming from. Cindy, however, was still really suspicious about the smell. As she mentioned in a 911 call you heard earlier, she described the smell as a decomposing body smell to the authorities, and she found the smell really suspicious, and she told the authorities that. George did not think any of it. So after that, Cindy, Anthony, Casey's mom finally got a hold of Casey's friend named Amy, and Amy told her that Casey was actually at her boyfriend's house called Tony. Casey's parents went over to this house, and they indeed found Casey smoking marijuana at Tony's house. So that's how Casey was finally found after being gone for a month. When Cindy found Casey, she said Casey seemed to be very agitated and that she didn't want to go home, and Casey felt like her parents were just kind of bugging her rather than trying to help her. So finally, Casey decided to go home with her parents. And that's when she opened up to her mother, Cindy, about Kaylee being missing for the last 31 days. And this is the moment that Cindy decides to make that 911 call that you heard earlier. After that 911 call, Cindy, George, and Casey went to the police station to be questioned about the situation. Now, during questioning, the police asked Casey why she didn't report her daughter Kaylee missing for the last 31 days. She replied that she wanted to find Kaylee on her own and was scared that if she called the police, that Sandy would do something to Kaylee. That was her explanation for not reporting Kaylee missing. And this is the fascinating part about Casey Anthony, in my opinion, because she was known to be someone that just constantly makes up lies and also makes up these fantasies. During her interview, Casey actually claimed that she met Kaylee's nanny, Zanny, through a friend named Jeffrey Hopkins. She said that Jeffrey Hopkins was a co-worker of hers at Universal Studios, and Jeffrey had a son named Zach Hopkins, and that Kaylee and Zach would be watched by Zanny together. I actually have a snippet of the police questioning Casey that I will play for you now.
When was the last time you spoke with him?
About a week and a half ago.
You have a telephone number for him?
I can find a number for him. I don't know a number offhand. No, I do not.
So you met Zanaya through Jeffrey Hopkins?
I did.
And his son Zach Hopkins, I guess, Zanaya used to watch over Zach?
Yes.
When did she start watching over your child?
It's been within the last year and a half, 2 years, that she started watching Kaylee.
How would you normally do the exchange with your child and Zanaya? Would you drop the child off? Would she meet you somewhere?
I would usually drop her off. For a few months, we would go over to Jeff's house. He lived over in Avalon Park.
And you would go to Jeff's house why?
To drop off Kaylee. That's where Zanaya would go to watch both of the kids.
Okay.
It was in a nice centralized area. He had a decent sized house. It was good room for the two of them.
So during her interrogation, Casey claimed that the only two people she told about Kaylee being missing were Jeffrey and a co-worker named Juliet Lewis, that they all worked together at Universal Studios, apparently. Now, later on, the police found out that Juliet Lewis was actually someone that never existed. So Casey made up this person for whatever reason. Not only did she mention fake fantasy characters, Casey would just go into detail about these people and their lives when they didn't even exist in the first place. Another pattern of Casey was that when the police would ask her for phone numbers or contacts of these people that she was talking about, she all of a sudden did not have the phone numbers, saying that, you know, she changed her SIM card. It's just really, really interesting how she was able to make up these extra details as if, I'm not sure, she practiced it beforehand, it's a script, or if she just comes up with this right on the spot. I'm not sure how she does it. So So I have another snippet of her interrogation that I will play for you now.
The honest to God's truth of everything that I've said, I do not know where she is. The last person that I saw her with is Sanaida. She's the last person that I've seen my daughter with.
And see, here's the problem. I think Sergeant Allen, before we get to this, is that we know that's not the truth. You know, we know that's not true. That can't be the truth. Because if that were the truth, everything you would have told us would have been on the money. The addresses you would have taken us would have been on the money. Everything else would have matched.
So, in my opinion, this snippet clearly shows that she's trying to defend herself. It's as if Casey hides her anxiety with being so chill and calm. And it's just oddly incredible to hear how she's able to manage this during the entire interrogation. As I mentioned before, during the interrogation, Casey, of course, had to give the addresses of the people that she was talking about. So she would go with the police to these different addresses of Zanny, the so-called babysitter, and addresses of the co-workers that she was talking about. And she actually led the police to a lot of different fake addresses that just didn't exist. So one of the biggest lies that Casey told the police was that she worked at Universal Studios. So during the interrogation, the police actually took her to Universal Studios, saying like, "Hey, Casey, take us to Reroute the day Kaylee went missing. We want to see your workplace." So the police did some digging, actually, before the interrogation with Casey. And they went to Universal Studios, and they already found out that she did not work there. So basically, Casey was lying to her parents, the police, and her friends about working at Universal Studios. So she would get up in the morning, tell her parents that she was going to work, use the car, leave, and then come back home. And Casey did this for the last 2 years, guys. She pretended to go to work when she did not have a job at all. Now, she did work at Universal Studios 2 years earlier, just for a little while, but she wasn't an event coordinator like she claimed to be. Police actually found out that Casey was someone that worked behind a kiosk booth and not at Universal Studios. So anyways, when Casey and the police got to the Universal Studios, Casey was telling the security, like, "Hey, I work here. My name is Casey Anthony. Can you look me up? Please, can you let us in?" So security went through the name list and they could not find Casey Anthony named there, of course, because she didn't even work there. So apparently Casey Anthony was kind of getting agitated, almost like kind of bickering with the security guard, saying, "Yes, I do work here. Look me up. Maybe there's something wrong with the list." So you could see how far Casey was willing to go in order to keep up with her lies. Now, eventually, the police was able to convince the security guard to let them in for investigation at Universal Studios. So Casey Anthony and the police went in, and they were walking around trying to find the office where Casey was supposedly working in. After walking around for a while at Universal Studios, Casey actually turned around and apparently chuckled, let out a laugh, and told the police she actually doesn't work there. Like, guys, are you actually kidding me? This is such suspicious behavior. Now I will play another snippet of the police interviewing Casey, and this snippet clearly shows the signs of a compulsive liar.
"And you know that everything you told me is a lie, correct?"
"Not everything that I told you."
"Okay, pretty much everything that you told me, including where Kaylee is right now."
"That I don't know where she is."
"Sure you do. And let me explain something."
So, as you hear in the police interrogation tape, one of the things that really stuck out to me is that she says one truth, being, "I haven't seen my daughter." So, compulsive liars are actually very good at manipulating the truth by mixing a little bit of truth in their lies. They kind of use that as an excuse, thinking that what they said is the truth, because they're mixing some truth in there. And I think that gives them some kind of relief and a belief that they are actually telling the truth. So where and how did this lying behavior of Casey Anthony actually start? Let's go back a little bit to her life before her daughter Kaylee Anthony was born. So it was well known that Casey would lie even before this whole incident happened. People say she got away with a lot of things that normal people usually wouldn't because of her parents. Her parents were kind of letting Casey get away with lying. The earliest lying behavior of Casey Anthony started in high school. And when she was 18 years old, she skipped an entire semester of school to hang out with her older boyfriend and let her parents and friends believe that she was graduating. Her parents and grandparents even came to the graduation, only to find out that Casey wasn't even graduating. She made up this excuse to her parents that apparently the school was at fault because the school had her time schedule mixed up, and that that's the reason why she accidentally skipped the classes. Apparently, her family still threw Casey a graduation party with her friends and family. So, technically, this shows that her parents never held her accountable for her actions and almost kind of praised her for bad behavior and lying. This also allowed Casey Anthony to believe that it is okay to be deceptive because she's going to get what she wants at the end of the day anyways. So Casey got pregnant at age 19, and carrying Kaylee, she gained weight and looked pregnant. But Casey actually told her family and friends that she wasn't pregnant, although a lot of people did believe she was. Apparently, her mother, Cindy Anthony, believed her daughter's lies about her not being pregnant. Of course, when later on Casey couldn't hide her pregnancy anymore, she finally came clean and told her parents. Another interesting thing is we actually do not know who Kaylee Anthony's father is, because Casey claimed multiple people were the father. She once claimed that the father of Kaylee was a man that she had been dating, but that he died in a car crash. Another claim was that her then-fiancé named Jesse, who she met in January of 2005, was Kaylee Anthony's father. But Kaylee was born in August. She apparently told Jesse that he was the father, and she knew that the time frame kind of didn't make sense. But whenever Jesse brought this up, apparently Casey would give some kind of excuses and would kind of get agitated. She would get upset that he was questioning her about this. So this shows that she was completely manipulating Jesse to believe he was the father. So Jesse eventually believed that he was Kaylee's father. Later on, DNA evidence proved that Jesse, her then fiance, was actually not the father of Kaylee Anthony. So until this day, we still don't know who actually is Kaylee Anthony's father. There are up to 3 other men that could possibly be Kaylee's father, but they all died in a car crash. So, like I stated before, Casey Anthony actually led her parents and her friends to believe that she had a job at Universal Studios for 2 years. But within those 2 years, she actually never had a job. She was actually jobless all that time and wasn't working at all. Of course, if you're jobless, eventually you run out of money. So she was known to also steal from her parents, so a little money here and there, and she also stole from one of her close friends back then. Casey and her friend Amy stole up to $4,000. Okay, so now I want to fast forward with you guys to what happened during the 31 days that Casey's daughter, Kaylee, was missing. During those days, there were a lot of Facebook photos popping up, and those showed that Casey was attending parties, especially a lot of her boyfriend's parties. And she also got a tattoo saying Bella Vita, which means beautiful life in Italian. This part is the biggest reason why a lot of people are suspecting Casey in the first place. How can you be out partying, getting tattoos, like there's nothing wrong when your own daughter has been missing for days and you know that she maybe could be taken by the nanny named Zanny? If that's really what you believe, you will go looking for her. You won't be getting tattoos and partying when your daughter is missing and if the story you're telling is the truth. Casey's friends later also testified that they noticed nothing strange about Casey's behavior during those 31 days partying, and that Casey did not even mention that her daughter Kaylee was missing. The neighbor also confessed that 2 days after Kaylee was last seen alive, Casey Anthony borrowed a shovel from him. He didn't notice any odd behaviors after Casey returned the shovel. This is also really suspicious. Why would you need a shovel 2 days after your daughter went missing? Now, because Casey had lied about several things to the police during the interrogation, she was arrested that day. So this recording tape I will let you hear right now is very strange to me, you guys. In this snippet, Casey is calling her mom Cindy from jail after she got arrested.
Casey? Mom, hey, please. Well, I just saw your uncle Timmy on TV. You don't know what my involvement is in stuff?
Casey?
Mom, what?
No, I don't know what your involvement is, sweetheart. You're not telling me where she's at.
Because I don't f***ing know where she's at. Are you kidding me?
Casey, don't waste your call.
No.
Scream and holler at me.
Waste my call sitting in, the jail?
Whose fault is you sitting in the jail? Are you blaming me that you're sitting in the jail by yourself or telling lies?
So you just heard Casey's mom, Cindy, being really concerned on the phone with Casey. She is really stressing out about the Kaylee situation, but Casey responds in a very different way. So I actually have another phone call that Casey made from jail to her friend Elizabeth, and I will play that snippet for you now.
Give me a favor, get my brother back because I need Tony's number.
Okay, is there anything I can do for you?
I'm sitting in jail. There's nothing anybody can do right now.
Oh, I'm just trying to be...
Oh, I know you are, honey. I absolutely know that you are, and I appreciate everything that you're trying to do, but I'd like to call Tony.
Tony, have anything to do with Kaylee?
No, Tony, nothing to do with Kaylee.
Oh, okay. Why do you want to talk to him?
He's my boyfriend, and I want to actually try and sit and talk to him because I didn't get a chance to talk to him earlier because I got arrested on whim today because they're blaming me for stuff that I never would do, that I didn't do.
You just heard that snippet, and Elizabeth sounds so concerned about Casey and Kaylee during this phone call, but all Casey seems to care about is her boyfriend at the time named Tony. She's only asking for Tony's number the whole time that she's speaking with her friend. She even says that Tony had nothing to do with Kaylee's disappearance, but she still wants to talk to him. Like, I just found it really odd how she's not even asking questions about Kaylee. How is Kaylee's search going? Have you heard anything about Kaylee? Is my family okay? Is my mom okay? Is my dad okay? Did they find anything? Do you have any more information about Kaylee? Did anyone get in contact with that so-called babysitter, Sani? So she was not even asking relevant questions that you would ask when you're in such a stressful situation like Casey is in. She is not really worried about Kaylee or her parents or what anyone else is thinking. The only thing she wants is to talk to her boyfriend, Tony. Now, 2 weeks after Casey got arrested, she finally got the chance to talk to her parents over video. And you can hear Casey is a little bit more uplifted in her mood this time. So I want to point out some things that I picked up on during this interview. And one of the most interesting things that I noticed personally was when Cindy Anthony said to Casey that Kaylee's face is going to be on People's Magazine. And People's Magazine has a million viewers every single month. Casey's response to Cindy telling her this is as if she already decided that finding Kaylee was a lost cause. So I will play the snippet of this video conversation for you now.
That whole United States is looking for our Kaylee.
I know that one.
Her cover's going to be on People Magazine in a few days.
Okay.
One thing that I personally picked up on too is that This is my opinion. You could agree with me or disagree with me. Cindy Anthony asks Casey, are we going to be able to find her, you think? Casey then replied with, I hope we can. Now, in my opinion, hope is a very interesting word to use in this kind of situation. It's as if Casey knows that there's a great chance of not achieving it. In this situation, I will personally think when you're a mother, that you will respond with, yes, we have to find her. We are going to find her. We cannot lose hope. We have to do this. So during the conversation Casey had with her parents, she also talked about Sunita, the so-called nanny, and she gave detailed information about her when later on during the investigation, police had proven that Sunny or Sunita never even existed. Casey Anthony's daughter, Kaylee, never had a nanny. It's almost very scary how Casey was able to do this again. She's coming up with detailed information just like she did during the interrogation with police. So on August 21st, a bounty hunter and TV star named Leonard Padilla paid for Casey's bill in hope that this will lead him to find Kaylee. So I don't know exactly how bounty hunters work, but I believe they pay for someone's bill in hopes that they will solve the case. And when they do solve it, they're able to recoup the money back that they invested in bill and also make some profit out of it. So when Leonard Padilla went to talk to Casey and the family on the day that she was released on bail, she stuck with the same exact story. She doesn't know what happened to her daughter and the nanny named Zanny took Kaylee. It's a story that pretty much no one believed at this point. So Leonard, the bounty hunter, actually called Casey a narcissist and promiscuous. And he said that he wasted his money and his time trying to bail out Casey. There was also a big search team that came all the way from Texas, and they spent about $100,000 to find Kaylee during the search. Unfortunately, they didn't find anything. Now, finally, there was a man named Roy Cronker, and he was a meter reader. He called the police to report a suspicious trash bag that he found back in August. This place was near the Anthony family's home. The trash bag was found in kind of a swampy area, and Roy believed that he saw something, but unfortunately, the police never came by to research the trash bag. So Roy Cronker called once again, and he actually called several times. Eventually, the police came and did a search, but they said they didn't find anything. Roy once again called the police in December, and this time the police did recover a trash bag, and there were also some bones found. Later on, the autopsies actually showed that the found body matter was indeed Kaylee Anthony's. Police also found duct tape with hair that seemed to be attached to the skull. The death was later presumed undetermined. The body was so decomposed that they could not even rule Kaylee's death. Authorities till this day cannot even figure out what happened to Kaylee and how she died. Additionally to the duct tapes and the bones, they found a blanket that was proven to be part of Kaylee's bed at her grandparents' house. Okay, guys, so now I want to get into the most important evidence that was presented during Casey Anthony's trial in court. The prosecutors claimed that Casey Anthony, Kaylee's mother, was the one responsible for Kaylee's dead. That because Casey wanted to throw her old life away to party and start a new life. The first evidence that the prosecutors presented to the court was a strand of hair that was recovered from the trunk of Casey's car, which was microscopically similar to the hair taken from Kaylee's hairbrush. The strands of hair showed root banding, in which hair roots form a dark band after death, which was constant with hair from a dead body. The second evidence that was presented was an air sampling which they carried out in Casey's car, and this air sampling indicated a decomposition based on 5 key compounds of chemicals found in the air sampling. The sample also smelled strongly of human decomposition. Chloroform was also indicated in this air test. So I also want to get into defense, because there was a lot of controversy about the air sampling that was carried out in Casey's car. Air sampling was actually still a new technique back then. So defense claimed that the conducted air sampling was not reliable evidence. Also, German Shepherd cadaver dogs were used to sniff out Casey's car and the Anthony family's home during investigation. And the dogs indicated that something inside Casey's car and in the backyard of the Anthony's home was suspicious. But when they digged into the places that the dogs were sniffing at, they didn't find anything. So defense later claimed that the cadaver dogs that were used were unqualified. Other big evidence that was presented by the prosecutors during trial was that someone inside the Anthony family's home searched for the terms foolproof suffocation on Google before Kaylee went missing. There were a lot of computer tests carried out, but it remained unclear who actually searched for foolproof suffocation. Prosecutors' evidence showed that the grandparents were at work, and it would have to be only Casey Anthony who was at home searching for foolproof suffocation. But again, the defense was trying to prove otherwise. Defense actually claimed it was George Anthony who searched foolproof suffocation, because there were disputes in the time of search due to possible computer errors. So, do you remember Jeff Hopkins? This was the man who Casey claimed she supposedly worked with at Universal Studios and had a son named Zach who was friends with her daughter Kaylee. Jeff Hopkins actually confessed during trial that he didn't even know Casey Anthony and that he did not have a son called Zach. He also didn't work at Universal in those last 6 years, so it was impossible that he worked during the same time that Casey Anthony claimed that they worked together. There was also a lot of controversy about Casey's lawyer, who was Jose Baez, and that's another big talk on its own. But basically, he came off as very strong since the beginning of Casey's trial. The defense actually claimed that the duct tape found on Kaylee's skull before the body decomposed was an opinion, and that there was no proof that the duct tape was there before or after the body decomposed. Defense did point out the possibility that someone could have set this up. Someone possibly could have set up the duct tape and put the body there later in order to cover up for the case or whatever the reason could be. The second autopsy that was carried out by the defense team claimed that there was no indication of it being a murder. Main reason being that the body was so decomposed that the autopsy cannot rule the reason of death. There's also a lot of questionable parts that the defense pointed out about Roy Kroenker, the man that found the suspicious trash bag with Kaylee's body matter. The authorities searched Roy Kroenker back then and did not find anything previously, and they found it odd that Roy Kroenker found the body. Though the defense was just questioning that Roy Kroenker possibly could have put Kaylee's body there. Roy Kroenker filled out a defamation lawsuit against Casey Anthony in 2011, claiming her defense team had framed him to be the murderer by keeping her body for months and then disposing it, to later on call the police to claim the reward for finding Kaylee. Of course, there's no evidence of Roy Kroenker being involved in Kaylee's death, and Roy said he was doing what a normal citizen should do by reporting anything suspicious, but later on was being pointed fingers at by Casey's defense team. Now, the biggest shocker to me wasn't really all of this evidence presented during Casey Anthony's trial, but it was what her lawyer, Jose Baez, claimed about what really happened to Kaylee Anthony. So Casey claims that Kaylee drowned in the family pool accidentally back in June 16th of 2008. Apparently, George Anthony, her dad, covered this up and told Casey to not worry about it, and that that was the reason why Casey just went on with her life, partied, didn't worry about it, because her father said it was okay. They also claimed that Casey's father, George Anthony, made an advancement towards her, meaning which he abused Casey when she was a young child, and That's why she was so used to hiding her pain by lying and making up these fantasy stories and characters, and that this was one of the reasons of why Casey was out partying, because she just had to hide her pain, apparently. Her defense also claimed that Zanny, the babysitter, was a made-up character in order for Casey to cope with the pain. The Antonys actually claimed that it was true that there was no door lock, so Kaylee could go in and out of the house freely. So when no one was looking, Kaylee accidentally drowned in the pool because of this. One important thing I do have to mention is that during the whole trial, George Anthony actually tried to commit suicide, and he left a suicide note in which he claimed that he was being harassed, he lost his job, he was feeling sad due to Kaylee passing away, and pretty much losing his daughter Casey as well, and that he just got into this deep depression. Now, the defense claimed this was evidence that George Anthony was guilty of covering up for Kaylee's death. I personally believe that the suicide note was not evidence that he was guilty of drowning Kaylee in the pool. Ultimately, Casey Anthony was acquitted of murder, found not guilty of murdering her daughter, Kaylee Anthony. The reason why they acquitted her was because there was no evidence that pointed out that she murdered her daughter, Kaylee Anthony. It's true that there was no hard proof or physical evidence that linked Casey to murdering her daughter. One of the things that also helped her getting this verdict was that Casey was known to be a good mother, and that was confirmed by her friends and her family. There was no indication of abuse or any odd patterns happening between Casey and Kaylee before the death. So, a possible theory of what a lot of people believe happened to Kaylee Anthony, again, this is just a theory, is that Casey wanted to go party and her daughter Kaylee kind of became baggage at some point. That's why one day Casey Anthony decided to use either Xanax or chloroform to kill Kaylee. Of course, we don't know for sure because there's no proof. Chloroform could actually be used as anesthetic, but when used in large quantity, it's very toxic, especially for little kids. So they believe that Kaylee somehow died from an overdose, and Casey tried to cover it up. Ultimately, whatever happened to Kaylee Anthony, a lot of people believe that it could have been an accidental situation that occurred, and that Casey did not actually mean to do this to her daughter Kaylee. But again, everything is just a theory. Until this day, we still don't know what actually happened to Kaylee Anthony. And unfortunately, because the body was so decomposed, they could not find any trace of drugs inside Kaylee. So after trial, Casey was free. So in the latest interview that we know of in which Casey Anthony is talking about Kaylee, the interviewer asked Casey Anthony what she really believed had happened to her daughter Kaylee. So I will play a snippet of this interview now.
I'm still not even certain as I stand here today about what happened.
So your parents had her?
My dad did.
Next thing you know, she's missing. Right? How did it play?
I did what I was told. I don't remember too much of what happened.
To your understanding, how did she die?
I don't know.
You don't know? Something about drowning, possibly.
Everyone else has their theories. I don't know.
So Casey repeatedly says, I don't know. I don't know what happened to her. She does not even sound curious about what actually happened to her daughter Kaylee, which is the biggest reason why a lot of people suspect Casey Anthony to have something to do with Kaylee's death. I mean, maybe she has a personality of not caring about what happens. Maybe she just wants to move on with her life, but I think we could all read the room. If someone else is accountable for your child's dead, you would do everything you can to fight for your kid and find out who did this and why. And that was it, guys. I've told you the most important details on the Kaylee Anthony or Casey Anthony case, and I analyzed Casey Anthony's personality with you, and I must say, Casey has a very interesting personality. After really looking into the details, in my opinion, Casey is guilty. She manipulated and lied her way through the interrogation. She did not show any worry at all when it came to her daughter Kaylee. Like, where are your emotions, girl? Your mother instincts are absent. It's your own daughter. Those were the frustrating things I had on my mind while looking into this case. And the fake story that she made up about this nanny, Casey lying about her job, the decomposing body smell in her car, her borrowing a shovel from her neighbor, she was partying, acting like nothing was wrong during the 31 days that Kaylee was missing, and she changed her story multiple times through her trial. The googling of foolproof suffocation, hello. All of these facts are giving me huge suspicious vibes when it comes to Casey Anthony. And I think it's so frustrating that this case still hasn't been solved until this day. Kaylee was just a young kid, 2 years old, and her life was cut short dramatically. She just deserves justice after everything that happened to her. Of course, I did not get into every single detail about this case, so if you want to know more, I will leave some links in the description of this episode, including really great YouTube videos, because there are hours of videos, documentaries, and some articles that really go into detail about this case, because this case is really well known in the true crime world. That's why there's so much information out there. Hopefully, I've educated you or entertained you with this case. Thank you so much for looking into another fascinating case with me, and I will see you next time.